This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meeting today with Mexico's foreign minister to try to reach an agreement over immigration and tariffs. President Trump threatening to implement tariffs on Mexico if it doesn't do something to stop the flow of migrants traveling through that country to the U.S. border. Last night, U.S. Senator Republican Lindsey Graham said,
"If tariffs is what it takes to get Mexico to do better on their side of the border, I'm all for tariffs. Trump's not the problem. Mexico's the problem."
He spoke on Fox News. President Trump joining British Prime Minister Theresa May, Queen Elizabeth, and leaders of over a dozen other nations to commemorate D-Day in Portsmouth, England. The president reading the same prayer President Roosevelt read during a radio message just ahead of D-Day in 1944. And this is USA Radio News.
I weighed 329 pounds. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. I got Enver 400. It makes me not so hungry. I started noticing more energy. I noticed my belly was starting to shrink up. I started seeing weight come off, 80-some pounds. I went from 330 to 245. For a 56-year-old guy to lose that much weight, it took something, brother. I feel great. I feel like I was when I was 35 years old.
That was Ruben. Now listen to what Josh says about Enver 400.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that stuff really works. It was insane. I've heard the commercials walk for a decade. I was like, I'm just going to try it. My pants are like falling off. It really works. I bought suits last year for my new job, and they're falling off of me. It's insane.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Private sector job creation really slowing in May. The ADP private payrolls jobs report showing only around 27,000 new private sector jobs were created last month, the lowest in that report since the economy started expanding after the jobs market hit bottom in March of 2010, when 113,000 jobs were lost. The federal government's private sector and public sector combined jobs report for May will be out on Friday. Now, two medical testing companies are reporting that personal information of millions of their patients has been compromised. One day after Quest Diagnostics announced a data breach affecting 12 million patients, LabCorp said yesterday data of 7.7 million of its patients could have been exposed because of a breach at a third-party collections firm. Beverly Hills City Council has approved a measure making that city the first in the nation to ban most all tobacco sales. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Florida officials charging the former sheriff's deputy who was hired to protect people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, Florida, for not doing his job. Scott Peterson facing multiple counts of child neglect, culpable negligence, and perjury for his inaction during that school shooting that cost 17 people their lives. Peterson was the school resource officer who retreated during the shooting rather than going in to confront the shooter. A 15-month investigation also claims he prevented other officers from going inside the building themselves. House Democrats are passing an immigration bill that grants a path to citizenship for some illegal immigrants. It also has a solution for Dreamers, people who were children when they illegally came to the United States. Seven Republicans joining with all the Democrats and voting for it, but it's not expected to even get a vote in the GOP-controlled Senate. Maine lawmakers are sending a bill that would legalize doctor-assisted suicides to Governor Janet Mills. The bill allows doctors to prescribe life-ending medication to terminally ill patients. The state Senate approving it on a 19-16 vote. It passed in the House yesterday by one vote. Governor Mills has not released an opinion on the bill yet. And the Mega Millions jackpot is growing. No winner in Tuesday night's drawing. So the expected jackpot on Friday is about $530 million. And find us online at usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste exhibit. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Rob Nadelson over there, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence of the Independence Institute, a former constitutional law professor and a senior advisor to the Convention of the States Project. Rob, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
It's wonderful to be back again. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the Democrats. Why not? Everybody is. Boy, they're digging in deeper and deeper, and the resistance is a fix for the next, we can say, for the next year and a half anyway.
Well, it is. It's really quite interesting how vehemently they oppose the current president. All the earlier rules seem to go out the window, although those rules had been worn down for some time.
Exactly. Well, you know, it was Harry Reid that went nuclear in the Senate, and he set the precedent. The Democrats winced when the Republicans said, okay, well, that's the way you're going to play the game. It's our turn, and here it is. You know, you're exactly right. I mean, it's not about... It's not about legislating right now. It's all about, you know, prosecuting and sending subpoenas and on and on. And meanwhile, this is at the people's expense.
Well, when they are investigating, they're not doing things like paying attention to the problems that real Americans face. Mm-hmm. And that's not strange because, as you know, I recently had a column in the Daily Caller where I write a regular contribution, mm-hmm. and it points out that leading Democrats in Congress, as well as the last two Democratic presidents, are people who have very little resonance with the population as a whole because they've never done anything but serve in office.
Mm-hmm.
A classic example is the Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer. He's raised in New York City, kind of a liberal petri dish, okay?
Yes.
He goes to Harvard, another liberal petri dish. He works on the campaign of Eugene McCarthy, a very liberal candidate. He graduates from law school, and with 6 months after he's in law school, he goes into the New York State Legislature, and he's never had any career since. Nothing.
Wow.
And he is actually typical of most of them.
Mm-hmm. I know, and here it is. I mean, we've paid for... I guess we paid for this service, you know, time and again. The people in New York keep voting them in, and hopefully the voter politic is taking notes because I think they're increasingly getting fed up with this particular Congress, and the Democratic Party is in full display. I think it's hard to justify.
Well, that's true. However, there's a bit of a dilemma for the average voter. As long as the Constitution allows members of Congress to sit in Congress forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally to the advantage of a constituent to have a representative who's been there forever. Patrick Leahy is an example I didn't mention in the article. He's,
mm-hmm.
he's been in the Senate for 44 years.
Wow.
Never had a private sector job other than a very brief stint in a law firm. You can understand why the voters of Vermont would reelect him because he's got all of this seniority, and he can bring the booty home. Mm-hmm. So, on the other hand, if the voters imposed, if the people imposed term limits, they might take a very different view of the matter. So, when you've got a, when you don't have a term limits rule, the temptation of the voters is to keep voting for the same people, even if those same voters think a term limits rule would be a good idea.
Exactly. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, they keep running surveys, and we know the lack of popularity of Congress is consistent, although, you know, that's when you take them as a group, but when you bifurcate them individually, then their approval ratings are a different number altogether, right?
That's exactly right. That's been a phenomenon for some time. I mean, another good example is most voters would like to see an amendment requiring the federal government to balance its budget.
What a concept.
But, what a concept, yeah. But as long as we don't have a balanced budget rule, the voters will tend to vote for big spenders because, again, the idea is, look, if the government's going to run a deficit, we need to get our share. Mm-hmm. This is a great example, Bill, of how the rules of the game can make so much difference. I use an example from sports. You can have the same group of people and have them play a game of softball by softball rules, and they'll all have a good time, mm-hmm. or have that same group of people play a game of tackle football, and few people have a good time, and some people will get hurt.
Yes.
Or you can take that same group of people and change the rules to the rules of Russian roulette, and the result will be tragedy.
Yes.
The Constitution sets up rules, and it's our job to make sure those rules work produce good outcomes, and that's not happening now.
Rob, what do we do now? I mean, here it is. We're $21 trillion plus in debt. There seems to be no desire whatsoever, regardless of the Congress, regardless of the side. I mean, if anything is bipartisan, it's just we'll just continue to grow the debt. And this is becoming a national security issue, is it not?
It's becoming a national security issue. It's also a moral issue. Because what we're doing is we're unloading on our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the cost of our current spending. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pay that cost. They may pay it merely in reduced standard of living, or they may pay it in more disastrous ways. For example, a meltdown of the currency. Mm-hmm. But they will pay the cost. And so it is a moral issue. It's also an economic issue because when you've got a lot of debt, it's when the federal government borrows a lot of money, that means there's less money available for the private sector to borrow for investment purposes. That's one of Europe's problems recently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it is a very difficult problem, and if you get most members of Congress in a corner, they'll acknowledge, you know, we really should have a balanced budget amendment, but they're simply unwilling to pass it. You mentioned in the introduction that I was a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project. One reason I am a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project is I think that to cure this issue, it's really going to have to, you're really going to need a change of the rules.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We've been doing business as usual, you know, voting for, trying to vote for good people, work for good people, public education, and so forth. We've been doing that for 50 years, mm-hmm. and the situation's only gotten worse.
Well, where are we, speaking of the Convention of the States? Because certainly this is a solution, you know, that, I mean, right now we got a little bit of adjustment coming in with an independent like Donald Trump, who has turned the whole system on its head right now as a... As an outsider, certainly he's non-beholden to the K Street traditions and some of the previous traditions that the if you might want to call it the deep state or you know the establishment has been used to, and you know this is kind of you know shaking things up a bit.
Yes, it is, but we have to put this in perspective. Number one, while Donald Trump has engaged in some deregulation, there was a study by the Brookings Institute, a very respected think tank recently, which found that actually what he's really done is kind of hold the line on regulations. That is a net matter. The number of regulations haven't gone down. Mostly what he's done is kind of stopped some of the Obama era proposals. Mm-hmm. He has done nothing to deal with the fiscal issues. On the contrary, mm-hmm. he has just entered agreements with Democratic leaders for a huge new infrastructure plan. He's not a fiscal conservative. He has shown a tendency to protect religious groups, for example, against political correctness. There's no question about that. But he is not going to make the kind of change in the system that's going to have to be made. I don't think any president can.
Right.
So how do you make the change?
Well, I'll tell you what. Before we answer that question, we've got to go to break. We've got more from the professor after this. Stay with us.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
16 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like us. I'm Bill Martinez. Professor Robert Nadelson continues with us, a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, a former constitutional law professor, and a senior advisor to the Convention of the States Project. Rob, before the break, you started to give us an answer, and I want to make sure you had plenty of time to present that to our audience. Go ahead.
Let's unpack it. A very important traditional way of enacting reform in our country is through constitutional amendment. It was through constitutional amendment we ensured that women had the vote nationally. It was through constitutional amendment that we abolished slavery. Civil War alone didn't do the job. We adopted the Bill of Rights through constitutional amendment. We limited the president to two terms by constitutional amendment, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you reform the system through constitutional amendment? Well, 3/4 of the states have to approve any amendment, but before they can even consider a proposal, the amendment first has to be formally proposed. And there are two ways of doing that. One way is for Congress to propose. Problem is, Congress is not going to propose term limits on itself.
Right.
They're not going to propose an amendment to balance the budget, for example. So is there an alternative to that? The answer is yes. The founders provided that the states themselves can come together in a meeting called a convention for proposing amendments,
mm-hmm.
and they can propose amendments which then are considered by the states for ratification. There have been a number of different efforts to use this procedure. It's been stymied in part by a lot of misinformation, but that is changing. Over the past 4 years or so, 15 of the necessary 34 states, two-thirds of the states, 15 of the necessary 34 states have endorsed the proposed resolution for a convention,
mm-hmm.
That convention would be limited to three areas: fiscal restraints on the federal government, term limits, and reducing the size and scope of the federal government. 27 states have endorsed the movement for a balanced budget amendment, and then there are a few other areas like term limits that have a few states supporting them as well. When the number gets above 34, Congress is required to call this meeting of the states, and then the meeting of the states decides, is a constitutional amendment appropriate, and if so, how do we draft it? And, of course, they're limited by the agenda that has been set for them by the states.
Exactly. So it's not like they can come, when they come together, say, oh, wait a minute, we've got another idea, we want to pick this up.
Right.
That's not going to happen. At the convention of the states, when they come together, who's in charge?
Conventions elect their own officers.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been, very few people know this, but there actually have been about 40 different conventions of states in American history.
Mm-hmm.
There were about 20 of them when we were still colonies, technically conventions of colonies. There have been about 20 of them since. The most recent one was in Phoenix in 2017. So we know how the procedure works. Usually what will happen was that they'll all get together in a city, let's say it's Nashville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some local person, some local delegate from Tennessee will call the meeting to order and immediately proceed to the election of officers. And then the officers are elected, each state voting, each state has one vote.
Mm-hmm.
They elect the officers. They also create a rules committee. Now, we know what convention rules are like because we've got 3 centuries of experience with them. But based upon that experience, the rules committee then comes up with a series of rules that has to be approved by the convention, and then the discussion of potential amendments begins.
I see. And then, but then again, now those officers that are elected in that process, they decide, or is this a steering committee that controls, the whole process of the convention?
There's no, st- I don't know of any convention where there's been a steering committee that controlled everything.
Mm-hmm.
These conventions, since they're the commissioners, we call the delegates commissioners, mm-hmm. since the commissioners are generally chosen by the state legislature, they're pretty savvy people. I mean, think, for example, of the Constitutional Convention. That was one example. It was one of the 40 conventions of states.
Right.
The people sent to the Constitutional Convention were really top people, and they were not going to settle for any steering committee telling them what to do.
Right.
It's kind of interesting because there have been several meetings of state legislatures recently, to try to, you know, get re-familiarized with this process.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one group called the Assembly of State Legislatures, and there was, in fact, an effort by the organizers of the Assembly of State Legislatures to pretty much run things from the top. It exploded pretty fast.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the people who were on the floor were experienced members of state legislatures themselves. They weren't going to permit that, and they didn't permit it.
Right.
And so this is not like a national party convention where you got a lot of amateurs, you know, 3,000 amateurs in the audience, and then a few people at the top determine everything. This is a situation where you've maybe got anywhere from 100 to 250 delegates or commissioners. They all know what they're doing. They're all experienced negotiators and politicians. They're chosen by their state legislatures, and they operate almost something like a legislature.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. Okay, so then they'll come together. But in this particular case, we've got 15 states, and they're agreeing on three primary issues right now, and that seems to be the agenda and will continue to be until either you get 34-plus states approving or just disbands.
Yeah, that's right. Now, once the convention comes together, they'll ask themselves, do we want a term limits amendment? Well, say they say yes.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, we want to impose a term limit on the Supreme Court of 10 years. We want to impose a term limit on Congress of, let's say, 12 years. And then they draft the amendment. But, well, do we want a balanced budget amendment? Well, maybe they can't agree on a balanced budget amendment, so they don't propose one of that, mm-hmm. one like that.
Right.
Do we want some additional restrictions on federal regulations? Well, yeah, we do. So they come up with a proposal for that. Then, so that there are two amendments that come out of the convention. There are 50 states participating, so 26 states is a majority. They decide they want term limits. They decide they want limits on federal regulations. At that point, Congress determines whether the ratification, the final approval, will be by state legislatures or by state conventions. Usually it's state legislatures, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
And then this goes to the states, and you need literally 38 states or three-quarters of the states to ratify, thereby guaranteeing that nothing that's too out of the mainstream or too weird is going to be ratified.
Exactly. Right. Well, you know, this is seriously what we're looking at in terms of a possible solution here. It's been rather tough at the ballot box, as you say, to find, candidates that are going to follow through. We've had many candidates in the past promise, you know, fiscal responsibility. But when they get there, you know, the tension against it is so tough on the Beltway that it's the wrong gospel, wrong church there.
Yeah, let me give you a good example. Let's say that you elect a new fiscally conservative congressman from California, and he is going to really do everything he can. And
almost sounds like an oxymoron there, but
right,
that's okay.
Anymore, right?
Yes, right. But we'll go with your example. Okay.
We'll go with the hypothetical. I mean, there are enough districts in California that you could get one conservative congressman. So he goes to Washington D.C. and he says, "I'm going to vote against anything that I think is not authorized by the Constitution."
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what happens is some people from his district say, you know, Congressman, we'd love for you to get $10 million in federal funds to put in a museum, and this museum is going to commemorate veterans of the Korean War. Okay, so it's really sounds like a really good cause.
Right.
So our congressman says, you know, the Constitution doesn't authorize the federal government to set up museums inside the states. That's a state function. Well, their response would be, well, you know, Congressman, your opponent for the next election probably doesn't think like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to oppose us and take your fiscally conservative position, you will, you're going to lose.
Well, that's part of the story, ladies and gentlemen, and it continues, and our ongoing conversation with the professor will as well. I look forward to having him back again. Professor Robert Nadelson, the Senior Fellow in Constitutional Jurisprudence at the Independent Institute. Rob, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meeting today with Mexico's foreign minister to try to reach an agreement over immigration and tariffs. President Trump threatening to implement tariffs on Mexico if it doesn't do something to stop the flow of migrants traveling through that country to the U.S. border. Last night, U.S. Senator Republican Lindsey Graham said,
if tariffs is what it takes to get Mexico to do better on their side of the border, I'm all for tariffs. Trump's not the problem. Mexico's the problem.
He spoke on Fox News. President Trump joining British Prime Minister Theresa May, Queen Elizabeth, and leaders of over a dozen other nations to commemorate D-Day in Portsmouth, England. The president reading the same prayer President Roosevelt read during a radio message just ahead of D-Day in 1944. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, an alarming statistic shows that one in six children in the U.S. doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. Can you imagine this? This issue is even more pressing during the summer months. Now, when millions of kids who rely on free and reduced cost lunch plans face an increased risk of going hungry. Well, with us today, an important program that helps, you know, that helps keep kids healthy and nourished is Stacy McDaniel, a child nutrition advocate and anti-hunger initiative specialist for the YMCA. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me.
You know, we've talked about this before, Stacy, the issue of child hunger and why it is so much more pressing during the summer. Remind our audience, if you would, please.
Sure. isn't a vacation for every child. Across the country, about 22 million kids rely on free and reduced lunch during the school year, yet only 17% of those children have access to healthy summer meals over summer break. So it leaves a really big gap in coverage. Families have the same food budget they had all year round, but that really increases during the summer, and it's a stretch for a lot of families. We know that kids are happier and healthier when they have access to nutritious foods, and that's why we created the YMCA Summer Food Program to really step up and meet that gap in service, make sure kids have the nutrition they need.
Well, I think that's awesome what the YMCA is doing, and you guys do such a great job for local communities. And to fill the gap that is so needed and so obvious with the summer food program, tell us more about it.
The YMCA food program provides free meals and snacks to kids 18 and under, along with fun learning activities. So really keeping kids healthy and active, well-nourished all summer long. We run about 2,500 sites across the country. Those can be in YMCAs as well as public parks, low-income apartment complexes. We really try to put them in a wide variety of locations that are easy to access, so transportation is not a barrier. Last summer, we provided 7 million healthy meals and snacks to more than 300,000 kids. And those are numbers we really hope to increase this year. We actually just reached a milestone with the support of Walmart Foundation. We've been offering these programs since 2011, and last year we served our 100 millionth meal.
These are incredible numbers, Stacy. I got to imagine the YMCA is proud of the effort and the results. And, of course, you know, you're helping right where it counts, you know, with these kids. I mean, and it's hard sometimes to think about hunger being such an issue, you know, especially for kids. You know, this is a heartbreak, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, hunger is in every community across America. But it's, you know, think of the last time that you were hungry. Bill, did you have to work through breakfast, lunch? Think of how you felt, right? You're distracted. You have a hard time focusing. They've coined the term hangry, right? Yeah. I had a child tell me, you just don't feel like being nice when you're hungry. It's all you can think about. And we know that's not okay. Research shows that kids who don't have enough access to food don't do as well in school. They're distracted. They're more likely to have behavior problems. At the Y, we think every child deserves every opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive. And that's why we have those healthy meals available and free to families for children 18 and under so that they can get the nutrition they need all year round.
Well, we're talking with Stacy McDaniel, child nutrition advocate and anti-hunger initiative specialist for the YMCA, and talking about childhood hunger. And Stacy, I'll tell you, it's kind of sad that we have to talk about it, but it does exist, as you say, in our communities, in our neighborhood. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's really hard to, you know, to see this. You know, why is it that it's not so obvious?
Always visible, right? You can't just look at someone and tell that they're hungry. And hunger looks different in this country. The fact is, 41 million Americans struggle with hunger, 13 million of which are children under 18. We know that families are struggling to make ends meet and be able to serve those kids nutritious foods. But when you think about what's more affordable, it typically tends to be really calorie-rich, nutrition-deficient foods. A bag of chips is definitely more affordable than a bag of fresh produce. And so that's not okay. It's not going to be what kids need to thrive and have the best health outcomes. We know also being hungry can really seriously impact a child's physical and mental health growth, their cognitive development, their performance in school. That's why the Y steps in. Mm. It's more than just feeding kids meals. It's also about providing healthy, nutritious meals and activities to help young people really reach their full potential and have what they need to thrive.
Stacy, I got to imagine this also helps the kids stay on track because summertime out of school, you can start, letting your imagination run away with you. And as you mentioned earlier, whether you want to call it being hangry or, you know, your perspective on life can be a bit distorted. So I imagine, you know, in terms of fortifying a healthy community, what the Y is doing is consistent with those values, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, It is about more than hunger, right? Because when you're hungry, what does it affect? We had a YMCA in Indianapolis, and we provide meals year-round. We definitely are doing a big push for summer, but we provide them during after school, too. Indianapolis YMCA went into a low-income apartment complex, and they tracked the kids over a year's time. They were providing free, healthy meals and tutoring for the children, right, to help adjust that learning gap over the summer. What they found was 85% of those kids in a year's time had a full letter grade improvement in their overall GPA. That's what access to healthy meals and activities can do for children. Every child deserves that in America. And that's why we really hope to support these programs across the country and expand.
I'll tell you, we love hearing stories like that because it's important, and this makes it real for everybody. Give us another story that you've got in your, you know, that you're holding up your sleeve here.
Oh, man, there's so many. Mm-hmm. You know, I was recently at a community in Indiana, rural community. A lot of times when we think about hunger, we think of inner city, right? But hunger is in rural America, too. And transportation is a real barrier. Families can't get to grocery stores. The nearest one might be multiple miles away. This was a community, and one of the Y directors, it was an older gentleman, and he told me, he said, you know, we started this to make sure kids had food. And he said, but what we found is that kids need more than just these meals. They come into the YMCA, and they know that they can be safe, they can be loved, they can have fun activities with their kids. And he was sharing how he had been invited to go to the kids' school for Veterans Day, and they had wanted him to sit with them. And he walked in the door, and right, instead of just one child, it was 20 that ran up to him. And he said, that's what the YMCA is about. He said, it's about relationships. He said, when these kids come into the Y, they can get a hot meal, they can be safe. He said, they're going to have a sense of achievement, relationships, and belonging. He said, we are nurturing the whole child. And I think that's what it's about. In every country across America, we want to feed kids, but we want them to have everything they need to be successful. And that's a robust program that includes activities, meals, and positive role models.
Well, Stacey, beyond the summer season, what else does the Y offer to help those who may be struggling with hunger?
We also offer after-school meal programs. We've recently piloted weekend and holiday meal programs, really working to make sure that kids during the out-of-school time can have consistent access to the meals that they need. We've been working with Walmart Foundation for quite some time and have really tried to expand anytime school is out to have these meal programs available for children and families.
Well, Stacey McDaniel has been with us, an advocate for child nutrition and the anti-hunger initiative specialist at the YMCA of the USA. She's been there since 2013, been doing a lot of great work, and thank you so much for sharing, Stacey. We appreciate it. Where can our listeners go for more information about the summer food program?
You can go to theyfeedskids.org. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to sharing more.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information is right there. And if you should so desire, you can drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. I've been looking forward to this opportunity to talk to our next two guests, Jeremy Miller. You may remember him as Ben Seaver on Growing Pains. Well, he has released a new book with his buddy, and I was just visiting a little bit with his friend, who's joining us as well. And this is Brandon Lane Phillips. Jeremy and Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing really good.
We're doing good.
Thank
you for having us.
Hey, great to have you here. You just released a book. I mean, Jeremy, for you, I mean, child star. We grew up with you in the, you know, during our childhood as part of Growing Pains and the Seaver family, and grew up with you there. And then, you know, you go on, go to cooking school, Cordon Bleu. You know, you've done voiceovers for cartoons. It's been quite a ride for you.
Yes, it has. I've been, you know, in the entertainment business since I was five, and I'm still chasing it and still loving it, but I also kind of grew up cooking with my gram and fell in love with that as well, so I'm lucky enough to have two things I can chase and keep a little income coming in.
Well, how much fun is that? That's just awesome, especially when you're carrying a little bit of grandma with you, and she's all part of the recipes and everything else.
Always.
Always, huh? Isn't that so special? I got to tell you, that is awesome. Well, your new book, When I Wished Upon a Star, is about your relationship with Brandon and how you two came together, probably at a time when both of you needed to be blessed with each other's friendship, huh?
Yeah, Brandon and I were very, very, I don't know, it was a very special friendship to me, and it's lasted over a very long time. As Brandon has said many times, we came into each other's lives at very different seasons at different times and meant very different things to each other.
Interesting. Brandon, for you, how did you connect with Jeremy?
I was born with a heart defect, and I was granted a wish when I was 11 years old by the Starlight Children's Foundation, and my wish was to meet Jeremy.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Brandon and I were talking before we went on air, and he shares something in common with my two-year-old grandson, Tetralogy of Fallot. I mean, of all things. I mean, it's not anything that's all that common, but here it is. And so I understand firsthand a little bit of what Brandon went through. And so at 11, you get this wish. And, you know, Jeremy is someone, you know, Ben Siebert, somebody that you had looked up to.
That's correct. Growing up, my parents divorced when I was 5, and I always blame my heart condition for, you know, the end of their marriage, and just kind of was at that point where I was feeling, got it, you know, you don't love me, you gave me a heart defect, you gave me a defective family. Before I went to meet Jeremy, I had prayed, God, if you love me, show me that you love me. I had no idea the day that I was going to meet Jeremy that it would almost be like God was answering my prayer. When I was there, one of Jeremy's first questions was, where do you go to church? Mm-hmm. And then later that evening, his co-star, Kurt, just kind of pulled me aside and said, God has a plan for your life.
Right.
So it was a very special day for me.
Well, I talk about confirmation, huh? You know, you ask God for, you know, you pray, you humble yourself, you ask God for something, and almost like that, I mean, here it is. And so here you are, you know, meeting a childhood star and probably thinking, okay, you know, other than maybe a meet and greet and something you can write and talk to your grandkids later on down the road, but what comes about is you guys, there's some chemistry here, and there's something between you guys that holds you together, and here you are all these years later, still friends.
Absolutely. Jeremy and I had lost contact for a number of years after the show had went off the air, and then kind of by chance, we fell back into each other's lives when they filmed a Growing Pains reunion movie in New Orleans right as I was graduating medical school, and we've been friends ever since.
Uh-huh. So medical school, all prompted by the heart experience.
That's correct. I'm the first in my family to go to college, and from the time I was about 5 years of age, being a pediatric cardiologist was the only thing I ever talked about wanting to do.
Unbelievable. Jeremy, for you, as you meet young Brandon, understanding what he went through as much as you could, you know, it's kind of amazing. You know, you think, I mean, for him, my grandson was a year old by the time he had his second open heart surgery. Brandon, in his story, I think he was 2 years old before you had your first open heart surgery, right, Brandon?
That's correct.
Right. So, Jeremy, so here it is. You're meeting this young kid on the set, and you know, what was it for you? Because you say each of you had a different perspective and a different story.
You know, we didn't know much about it back then. We weren't given much information about the kids who were coming. We didn't know what their actual condition was. I knew he had a heart condition, and as far as I knew, he wasn't going to be long for this world. I mean, they didn't tell us much. They didn't say, oh, he just had a, you know, a treatment that could save his life. They, you know, they didn't give us that information. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was just really important that I show this kid the best day that I could.
Wow.
And I, of course, assumed that since he had had some physical issues that he probably didn't get to get out and just mess around and be a kid much. So we rode bikes and we borrowed, in quotes, golf carts from the Crypt and drove around the lot, and we played on the Fantasy Island set and jumped out of the barn at the Friday the 13th barn, did all these fun things.
Right.
It was just very important to make sure that he had a great day. And, you know, the friendship that came after, we kept in touch with letters, and we talked a couple of times on the phone over those years. And, you know, he was somebody I considered a friend, although I didn't foresee that the friendship would be something that would last this long, because I didn't know if I'd have Brandon in my life. You know, I didn't know how long he was going to be here.
Right, exactly. How old were you then when you first met?
I was 12.
Oh, so you guys are about the same age. But still, I mean, that's a really mature attitude of you to have at 11 or 12 years old, to say, okay, somebody here who's coming in, and obviously your faith must have driven that, that kind of humility. Because, I mean, I've been around, I think we've all been around childhood stars, and sometimes they're all that in a bag of chips. But for you to, you know, be so open and to really make it about Brandon for that day, you know, that says about, you know, it says a lot about you and the way you were raised and where you were at that point, Jeremy. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, my parents, even though they had separated when I was young as well, had both brought me up with a very strong faith. And again, it just, that was very important to me. That was on my heart when I found out that day. And, you know, it was something that I was very blessed to have come back into my life, because when Brandon and I reunited, I was right at the precipice of my addiction, and it was me running from God, trying to hide from God at that point, because I was so ashamed of myself. So having someone come back into my life that brought back a time when that faith was still strong was important.
It's an anchoring point. Brandon, for you, here it is, as you said, lost contact with him. You come back into his life, and it's a little bit of an opportunity to return the favor. But I know you probably don't think of it that way, but in retrospect, some might characterize it that way.
Well, also at the time that Jeremy and I reconnected, my dad had passed away like 2 weeks before. So it's kind of just nice to be able to have, you know, the Growing Pains cast there with me. But Kirk told me early on, Kirk Cameron, Jeremy, co-star on Growing Pains, that the reuniting of me and Jeremy wasn't about me this time. It was about Jeremy.
Wow.
And Kirk was spot on with that.
Right.
Even though I didn't quite understand what Kirk was trying to get at when he told me that at the time.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, Kirk had become a Christian, had he not?
Yes. Kirk was a Christian even when I initially went to the set of Growing Pains back in 1989.
Oh, okay, because when I spoke with Kirk before, he had said to me that it was later on that he really made a commitment. I guess we all do in our journey. At times we may consider ourselves Christians early on, and then there's something, you know, pivotal, some crossroad that we come to in our relationship with God that we have to say, you know what, I'm all in. And maybe that's what Kirk was referring to at the time. So
yeah, it's possible. Kirk actually spent, you know, a fair amount of time that evening talking to me about how much God loved me and had a plan for my life. I'm just not sure that Kirk realized at the time that God's plan would ultimately include him and Jeremy for the long haul.
Unreal. This is absolutely it has to be God's plan, Jeremy, right? I mean, this is not necessarily a book that you would write for yourself, but this is kind of, in a sense, a bit of a, you know, ongoing legacy and another chapter of God's love for, you know, those that he created, right?
Well, that's kind of, you know, kind of how I felt as Brandon and I were writing this, you know, and getting the chance to tell Brandon's, you know, incredible story. His life is filled with so many of these moments. I mean, I've experienced many, many, many of them as well. Those those brief God shots, as I call them.
Right.
And Brandon, at so many moments throughout his life, from getting the chance to work under almost all of the doctors who took care of him when he was a kid, and with his pediatric cardiologist who he, you know, respected so much, to me showing back up in his life, to Kirk showing up in his life, all at certain perfect moments. It just, right. At some point, you have to stop saying coincidence.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, congratulations, you two. I appreciate the time. We have to reluctantly let you go. The new book, When I Wish Upon a Star, Brandon Lane Phillips, and Growing Pains star Jeremy Miller share how Phillips' wish to meet the child actor would change their lives forever. The book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and, of course, available at all the usual places. Brandon, Jeremy, again, thank you so much. You've blessed us. So we appreciate the story, and we look forward to reading more about it in your book, where all this is very well written out and documented. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, these pains. My neck, my back, shoulders. I've got to get some relief.
Stress from everyday life, past injuries, or surgeries can cause inflammation that leads to pain, but you don't want to take another pill.
There's an easier, healthier way, right?
Yes, with hot or cold therapy products at sunshine-pillows.com.
Pillows? For my aches and pains?
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows, plus travel pillows, microwavable body heating wraps, and more. It's all available to you online.
Finally, stress relief with no drugs.
Right. And now you can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off. Just use this promo code, SAVE30, when you click sunshine-pillows.com. Save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Use promo code SAVE30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel.